Since June, fighters with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, have captured dozens of cities and towns in northern and western Iraq, in addition to territory the group has seized inside Syria. The leader of the extremist Sunni group, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, has announced his intention to form a caliphate or Islamic state spanning both Iraq and Syria, and demanded that all Muslims pledge allegiance to him. Responding to the ongoing crisis in Iraq, the Pentagon announced on June 30th that President Obama had ordered hundreds of additional U.S. troops to Baghdad, along with helicopters and weaponized Predator drones. Administration officials say the second deployment since early June is being made to reinforce security at the U.S. Embassy and provide trainers and advisors to the Iraqi military. According to a report from Al Jazeera, this latest announcement brings to nearly 800 the number of combat-equipped American soldiers who have been sent to Iraq during the current crisis. Although President Obama has not yet launched U.S. airstrikes targeting ISIS forces inside Iraq, administration officials say they have not ruled them out. Meanwhile, Iraq has sought and received military support from U.S. adversaries Iran, Russia, and Syria to battle ISIS insurgents. The White House, joined by world leaders and critics inside Iraq, have called on Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to step down from his post to make way for a more inclusive government. But Maliki is determined to win a third term as head of state, as the Iraqi parliament charged with forming a new government has deadlocked and adjourned until August 12th. Your reporter spoke with Katrina Vandenhoevel, editor and publisher of The Nation magazine, who discusses growing concern about the U.S. military role in Iraq's current conflict with ISIS insurgents.
I just believe that there is simply no military solution to the crisis in Iraq, nor is there a military solution to the Syria-Iraq war. We need political, diplomatic approaches. I mean, the crisis in Iraq is part of a larger regional conflict, fueled in part by longstanding sectarian divisions and regional powers willing to use the combatants to fight proxy wars. So what's needed? American diplomacy, not American bombs. President Obama has wobbled back and forth in many ways. I mean, part of the problem is I'd argue the president deserved credit for restraint from a further military involvement. Look, you know, considering the drumbeat for war inside the Beltway, not just from the neocons who are surging back, but also liberal hawks. But the drumbeat has become such that he's now, as you said, decided to send up to more than 300 special forces advisors to Iraq. And we know the history. You know, history has shown all too often advisors can become ground troops despite the best of intentions. And, you know, the last point is I'm confused on any given day. You may be too, Scott, but you're looking at a very complex situation in the region. And Iran, for example, a country this nation has waged all kinds of drumbeats of war against, is now our potential ally in fighting the Sunnis in Iraq. And there's a drumbeat to arm rebels in Syria when at the same time those very forces out of Syria are fighting on our side in Iraq. So it's very complicated. I think our media is not doing a great job in explaining much of this to us. But one thing at the core, it just is futile to throw the U.S. military at a problem that even the military agrees has no military solution.
Well, Katrina, the Constitution and the War Powers Act call for Congress to authorize U.S. involvement in hostilities abroad. And I'm wondering, as you look at the current situation, should President Obama seek authorization for the apparent new U.S. military intervention going on now in Iraq? It's what he almost ended up doing with his proposal to bomb Syria after the alleged use of chemical weapons there.
In being pushed last August to go to Congress, look what emerged. Instead of military strikes, we saw a program which has gotten too little attention, maybe rightly so because of the humanitarian crisis in Syria. But the dismantling and destruction of Syria's chemical weapons has been a major success, not only for U.S., Russian, Iran cooperation, but as a model for nuclear nonproliferation attempts. Of course, there is a need for congressional authorization for the use of military force in Iraq. You know, legal experts are clear that neither the 2001 authorization for the use of military force passed so quickly in the days after 9/11, nor the 2002 authorization for use of military force to authorize the Iraq war are sufficient legal authorizations for new military intervention. The president must seek authorization for Congress before using military force in Iraq.
As you alluded to earlier, Katrina, we have a very strange shifting set of alliances in the Middle East, with the United States supporting both sides in two conflicts. The U.S. supports rebels in Syria seeking to overthrow Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, but also now is on the same side as Syria and U.S. longtime enemy Iran in opposing ISIS. At the same time, it's alleged that longtime U.S. ally Saudi Arabia has been a major supporter of ISIS rebels. Do you feel this is a window onto a confused and outdated U.S. policy? Or maybe, more hopefully, is it an opportunity to realign U.S. policy to better reflect the realities in a dramatically changed Middle East?
I think the latter. I think we seize this opportunity of these shifting alliances, first and foremost, to try and normalize relations with Iran. I think one of the great openings a year ago, maybe more now, but with the election of the new president, Rouhani, was an opening to end a futile conflict with Iran, to find a way to normalize its civilian nuclear program and to regain an engagement that is critical for the security not only of the United States but of the region. I think we have made a terrible mistake, despite the horrific humanitarian conditions in Syria, in arming rebels there. The region is already awash in weaponry. Have we learned nothing from arming the Mujahideen decades ago in Afghanistan? Those weapons might well, as we're seeing, turn against us. We have the opportunity to realign Saudi Arabia and Turkey's engagement with the region. So again, I think there is an entente between Iran and Saudi Arabia, both of which are terribly alarmed by ISIS's recent gains, and both of which could become Saudi Arabia, in its own craven way, has been an ally of the United States, but I think Iran could now become engaged in strong ways. So I think there's a real opportunity here, but I think it has to be a kind of grand bargain where you bring together the countries of the region. And never forgetting the people, Scott. I mean, I spoke earlier of the success of dismantling chemical weapons in Syria. Again, an example of collaboration between Iran, Russia, the United States, but the humanitarian catastrophes in the region cannot be ignored, and more militarization of the crisis is going to lead to even more displaced people, more refugees. We should be doubling down on providing aid and fighting obstacles to getting aid to people in the region. That's what our mission should be, and that's where the United States becomes more aligned with the aspirations of the region, not simply fueling the weaponry of the region.
That was Katrina Vandenhoevel, editor and publisher of The Nation magazine. For more perspectives on the current crisis in Iraq, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.